Bitcoin hits 77,000 at an all-time high as Donald Trump recaptures the White House. Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. I'm Nick Bhatia. It's been a huge week for financial markets and the United States of America. The U.S. elects Donald Trump president, 47th president of the United States, with an absolutely stunning popular vote victory. The chart on everybody's mind this week, aside from the Bitcoin one, is this: the totals from 2020 versus 2024. We see the decline in both Democratic and Republican voters from 2020 to 2024 by a dramatic margin. What was shocking to me is a lower Republican total for Donald Trump in 2024 versus 2020 when he lost the election. We will see if we get answers to explain why such a discrepancy from the last election to this one. But for now, let's focus on the financial markets. Now, if you're new to the channel, what we do at the Bitcoin Layer is we let price drive our narrative instead of the other way around. That way, we are always based in reality. We also firmly believe that price is the best indication of what is happening and what is about to happen. For example, at the Bitcoin Layer, we made a call for TBL Pros on October 11th that Trump would come back to the White House, and it was driven by both the prediction markets and the Treasury markets. Now, I want to talk about the prediction markets quickly before we start here getting into prices. Polymarket was absolutely spot on in this election. There was volume, there was cross-market arbitrage. We identified the price behavior between the lines on Polymarket, both the headline and the sub-bets, meaning the balance of power in Congress, as well as the popular vote, as well as the vote in individual states. I was monitoring each one of these markets. And the most incredible takeaway, I would say, from the Polymarket phenomenon during this election is that the Trump administration, the Trump camp, found out that they were winning the election via Polymarket. It wasn't the vote totals that they were getting from their own sources. Now, let me tell you how that happened. And I have a strong suspicion that this is the case, and this is the modern era that we live in, and why price is truth, and why we can't ignore price signals, because there is no free lunch. If there is money to be made, it will be made in that moment. The prediction markets are savage. They will not give a second to anybody that doesn't have the information. So let me tell you what happened. I'm sitting there watching election coverage, and I'm toggling between some channels with, of course, with X open and monitoring what's going on online myself. I'm watching John King on CNN because he is a pure numbers guy and he's going within the county data and doing the continual comparison between 2020 and 2024 and showing the breakdown and seeing what's going on there. Now, I understand that there were participants out there that had their own models plugged in so that they were analyzing every single vote as it was coming in, relating it back to 2020, and determining the outcome of the election in real time. The way that that trade is expressed in those algorithms, because it takes time and money to build that algorithm. So who's spending the time and money? Whoever has their Polymarket bets on. And so the person, the institution, whatever player, whatever market player is making that algorithmic investment, they are the one that is going to profit off of this election result because they are going to be the one that's buying before. Remember, you get the payout at one. It's binary. It's zero or one. And if it's trading at 60, 58, 61 going into the election, and you know what's going to happen on November 5th at 6 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m., those players won their bets because they had the data first. And we've never had a globally liquid market that has been able to tell us in advance based off of the data. Because, see, I don't have that data. And if I did, I would be putting those bets on. But the person that has that data first put those bets on. We get to see that information in the Poly Market Live price. So when we are, and by the way, I assume all of this to be the case 1 month ago. So there were other data points that told people that this was the correct bet. That's why it was 60-40 for the last several weeks. The prediction markets were correct. Prices are pure. And the prediction markets have a very low barrier to entry, both on currency and amount. It means that the information is in the price. We say that for other financial markets, but we know how many players are involved in those types of markets. We still believe in the truth of the price and the way it prevails. And what we were seeing in the treasury market was a selling of treasuries off of pricing in what? A Trump victory, a Republican House, and a Republican Senate, an enormous tax cut in 2025, and sustained deficits, higher inflation as a result of deficit spending, higher growth expectations as a result of the tax cuts, and whatever legislation would be passed by the mandate. And guess what? The markets had it spot on all along, pricing basically that 3.6% on 10s was way too low of a yield. So that's the takeaway on prediction markets and financial markets and why we use them to guide our decision. So we told our readers on October 11th what our call was. It was markets-based. It was prediction markets-based. And TBL pros had access to that. So we recommend people go subscribe at thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe. We have a free publication, but we strongly encourage you to check out TBL Pro. With today's macro landscape, many people are worried that they are not saving enough for retirement. Now you can grow your retirement savings with a tax-advantaged Bitcoin IRA using Unchained. The Unchained IRA is the only solution that allows you to hold your own private keys in an IRA vehicle. Right now, Unchained is running an amazing deal for you guys where you can get started with their IRA for no setup fees and no fees for the first year. You can roll over traditional IRAs or other 401k accounts into this new Unchained IRA, and they can help you set up everything. Go to unchained.com/TBL and experience true ownership over your retirement. Don't risk your Bitcoin security. Do you have Bitcoin private keys stored on paper? Make sure you convert those keys to titanium with Stampseed. Stampseed has this really cool DIY kit that allows you to hammer in your seed phrase into these small titanium plates that are fire resistant and damage resistant. This kit is designed by titanium metal workers that have been working in stamping metal for over 14 years, and your words are deeply stamped, not just a shallow dot. So make sure you check out stampseed.com today and use code TBL for 15% off of your order. Now, the first chart I want to show you is the S&P 500. These are weekly candles, believe it or not. The trend is undeniable, and our readers understood that at 4,800, this is several months ago, the breakout at 4,800 was an extremely loud market signal. We flagged that. Hopefully some of you use that information for your own investment decisions. 4,800, once it broke in the S&P, you had no ceiling. You had periods of volatility due to reignition in inflation, due to hawkish rhetoric, due to other dynamics. But the truth of the matter is that once you get above a previous all-time high, you're in a new price regime, and the price won't stop until it doesn't. And what we see here is a stock market that has charged all the way from 4,800 to now 6,000. This is on the S&P futures, 6,000 here on the Trump victory. Now, what is the stock market pricing in? We believe that it's pricing in higher asset side liquidity system wide. This is something that drives our model at the Bitcoin layer. So we have an index now. It's called TBL Liquidity. In this index, it's made up of three components: the size of the banking system, interest rates, and interest rate volatility. We combine these metrics to give us an indication of where financial markets are going and where they have traveled based off of what is happening in the banking system and, of course, treasury yields. Now, over the past few weeks, bond volatility has spiked, as have interest rates, causing an enormous decline in our own metric. However, the stock market has raced higher. And how do we explain that discrepancy? The reason that we believe there's this huge divergence is the forward action in the asset side of the banking system is not in this index yet, but it will be priced in over the next couple years because it's a backwards looking index when it comes to looking at the size of the banking system. The banking system will grow in size in 2025 and 2026. It will grow in size to an enormous degree. The financial markets are pricing that in today. You're seeing it in the stock market much before you're seeing it in our own index. Now, we are working on our index to make sure that it is the highest signal possible for you, but we are not under the impression that we've figured out some crystal ball here on where markets are going. We still use prices to give us the narrative. What we flagged at 4,800 in the stock market is still in effect today. It's not different because we're at 6,000 versus 5,800. What we're seeing here is a continual leg up in stocks month after month as we price in higher asset side liquidity. Where does the asset side liquidity come from? It comes from three places. Number one, it comes from deficit spending, which is borrow and spend and absorbed by the banking system. Viewers can go check out our most recent video on money creation to understand the balance sheet exercise there. Number two, it comes from central banks. So we believe central banks will be going back into balance sheet expansion as they've already entered a series of interest rate cuts this year. We believe that balance sheet contraction will end at some point soon and lead to expansion. Number three, lending itself. As lending expands, bank balance sheet expands. And so we believe that a lending wave is coming in the United States of America. I'm going to talk about the US dollar and what a Trump White House is going to mean for the US dollar. I have big thoughts, and I'm going to be honest, guys, the last 48 hours have been absolutely crazy in terms of me trying to process the information, process the prices that are changing through time, and trying to surmise all the information and deliver it down to you. So I'm facing my own challenges, but I have so many ideas about what's about to happen. So I have some of them for you today, but they'll be given to you over time, of course, through this channel, but really through the Bitcoin Layer's unbelievable research publication, where we are telling you basically in advance a lot of things that are happening 1 to 2 to 3 months in advance. We're giving you this lead. Number one, on when the Fed would be cutting rates. Number two, who's going to win the election. Number three, what price to watch when Bitcoin breaks out. It was 73,000. We saw the immediate jump up to 77,000. And our price projection for TBL Pros, they've been seeing for weeks. Once we get above 73, this price is heading to 96,000. We do not give investment advice. Please do your own research and make sure that you are investing according to your own guidelines, not just based off of something that we are saying based off of our own research and analysis. So I explained the three sources of balance sheet expansion banking system-wide. Number one, borrow and deficit spend absorbed by commercial banks. Number two, balance sheet expansion at central banks, formerly known as QE. The Fed will change the branding, I'm almost sure of, or I'm I have a hunch that the Fed will change the branding next time they go QE. I've been saying that for a year or so now. And number three, lending itself, consumer lending, construction lending, any sort of lending. I believe that that will be sponsored by a public-private partnership program that is government-sponsored in some way, shape, or form. It will also be combined with the raw animal spirit lending and demand for credit from the consumer and business public in the United States. All of that will create new money left and right. It'll send TBL liquidity, our own index, up. You will get muted volatility back into the market. Interest rates will not be screaming higher. We'll get into my outlook on interest rates as well here coming up. But all of that will support TBL liquidity. Higher banking system size, lower bond volatility when the Fed comes back into play, not dramatically higher interest rates, and all of that will combine for supportive conditions for asset prices. And guess what? If you were on the sideline, you have been left in the dust. The S&P 500 is up 25% since it broke out of 4,800. Okay, this is, I don't understand people that don't use price as their signal. It should be the only thing. If your analyst and researcher that you use is not using price first, they're not looking at the most available information out there. Okay, now the next set of charts are going to be about treasury yields. Let's talk US treasuries. U.S. rates have gone higher, obviously, since the September 18th rate cut, but I want to simplify it as much as I can for you guys because I still feel that there's too much noise. And it comes down to the most basic of all basic math. So get your subtraction out, and we're going to go reverse from 5.5%. Policy rates were at 5.5% on pause for a year. That's where the Fed got them to after an unprecedented once-in-40-year inflation wave. 5.5% is where the policy rate got to. We had short-term yields in terms of bills, of course, get to 5.5%, but most of the Treasury curve never made it much above 5%. Why? Treasury investors didn't believe that policy rates would be at 5.5% for that long. We agreed with Treasury investors. It wasn't that we agreed, it's that we understand how to interpret Treasury prices and yields for the path of policy rates. And so there was an enormous move lower from the 5 area to the 3.5 area, as you can see on this chart, in the longer end of the curve, all the way up until the Fed finally started cutting rates. Now, here's the basic math that I want you guys to do. What is the difference between 5.5 policy rates and 3.5 10-year yields? It's 2%. There's a 2% gap there on September 18th, on September 17th, let's say. It shrinks on September 18th, of course, but it continues to shrink over the following weeks of price action. The front end of the curve was about 4%, so still 1.5% below the policy rate on September 17th. Now that gap has closed. Let's call the whole curve at about 4.25% to 4.5%. So just round it up to 4.5%. Now, policy rates at 5%, that's a 50 basis point gap. The Fed cut rates by another 25 basis points today. That's still a 25 basis point gap. So what you've done over the past month or two with the price action in Treasury yields is you've closed the gap between reality, which are the Treasury yields, and the policy rate, which is what the Fed controls, which is a lagging indicator. So reality reflected this huge gap a couple months ago, but there isn't that much gap anymore. And that's the market saying, we as a market are a lot closer to where the Fed thinks that it's going to be over the next few years. That's it. That's all that's happened. We haven't had any immense sell-off in the Treasury curve above and beyond where the policy yield is. We haven't had a dramatic steepening of the yield curve. look at the yield curve here in our next chart. The yield curve, which we have twos, tens on the bottom pane here, you can see the individual components. They've moved in lockstep during this move. It means the yield curve has not steepened. It's still flattish at 15 basis points here. Okay, there's no dramatic re-steepening in the yield curve. So nothing has really happened in treasuries except that the gap between expectations and the policy rate has closed. And by expectations, I mean the market. Now, my belief that nothing dramatic has happened in the treasury market thus far matches up with the stock market price action because the stock market has been off to the races. There is no sell-off due to spiking bond volatility, which is fascinating. It's fascinating because of the empirical correlation that we've had. It tells me that this is just a move that was overdone. The buying in treasuries was overdone, and it was overdone probably on a potential Harris presidency where you would have had slowing growth expectations. Basically, the expectations of a government that wouldn't have been able to do anything to help the economy. That trade started to reverse. I tweeted it on October 7th. The price action, it was strong. We could see what was happening in yields. They were marching higher. They were starting to price in a shift. Correlations broke down between stocks and treasuries. There, every signal that we could get, we delivered to you and TBL Pros on October 11th and on this YouTube channel throughout October. So you guys can go watch some of our market recaps mid-October. They will help you understand what's happened in the last 48 hours as well, in addition to these charts here. You can see in our next chart the huge jump in 10-year yields that we experienced yesterday, the day after the election, or the first day the market was able to price in the results of the election. I do have some candles here for you on rates, which I'll get to here in a few minutes. And in terms of that correction, that gap closing, that is expressed here on this trailing 30-day basis point change for 2-year yields, 78 basis points higher over the last 38 days. Really, this dramatic collapse bringing the forward cut expectations from 2% back to 1%. It's really not that huge of a deal. And the reason that the stock market is a lot higher today than it was 30 days ago is because this move isn't that big of a deal. It's a correction. You see this huge region below the x-axis during July, August, and September. That was the move getting overdone. That was actually a Harris trade. If you really think about this being a Trump trade, that was a Harris trade. And that trade, it was being put on, but it had to be reversed as the market wisdom understood what the election result was going to be in about September. We caught on to it in October, and we delivered that news to you. On this next chart here, I have that gap that we've been talking about expressed. You can see the gap visually on the top pane between the green and the orange line. That green line, by the way, guys, it does not reflect the interest rate cut that the Fed put on today. That will be reflected in tomorrow's prices. So the Fed cut by 25 basis points again today. It does appear as if, I watched the Powell press conference, it appears as if he wants to get rates back to below 4% at the very minimum. He believes they have won on inflation at the margin. It's not a danger anymore, and that 4.5% is still too high. There will be another couple rate cuts. Let's not make too much judgment on what's going to happen beyond that. He was asked several times, what are your thoughts on what happened this week across the country? He refused to answer in terms of how he viewed the election results. He did, however, say that we do not speculate on fiscal policy. It means the Fed is going to make no decisions based off of potential tax cuts and what that will do. It will respond to financial markets, though. I will say that. And so basically the Fed is not looking at what's going to happen with forward inflation. It's confident that it's beaten the worst of inflation and that it will send policy rates down below 4%. Now, I believe it's sending policy rates to 3% and lower. We'll get into a little bit of that here once we get into the dollar and some of my Trump game theory ideas over the last few days. Okay, let's hit the candles, guys, so we can take our narratives away and what's going on, and also give you my own technical analysis and what I see. Let's start with the 2-year yield. These are weekly candles here. I have the range of 3.5 to 4.25. Now, that is a range that's basically 25 basis points to 1% below the policy level today. That is where I expect the 2-year yield to live. It means that the move from 3.5 to 4.25 is probably done. I will just say now, I'll make a call here that 4.25 should be the top end of the range here. If we close on a weekly basis above 4.25, we'll have to revisit and restrike the narrative here. I believe policy rates are coming back down to 4% and below. So let's just say 3.75. That means that 3.75 is the fair value for twos. It means that twos are probably a good buy at 4.25. That is what I'm seeing on the price action. If I go a little bit into the technicals, I see some exhaustion on the trend on the daily and a little bit of a tail here, doji on the weekly candle. Next, let's look at tens. Now, I've redrawn this descending trend line to connect the late 2023 peak, the spring peak, and it connects to the price action from this week's candle here. Dramatic move from 3.6 up to 4.25. We flagged 4.25 for quite a while here. And guess where yields sit? Right at 4.25 today. This is the level at which basically you're going to get all the narratives for the next 12 months out of what happens around 4.25 here on the 10-year yield. My base case scenario is that this area is purchased. It means that yields will trend between 3.6 and 4.25. That is my base case scenario. So an exhaustion to the bearish trend here in treasuries that we saw develop early, then we flagged as a Trump trade. It accelerated. It probably exhausted yesterday and today with the Fed's cut and commitment to lower policy rates and also just admitting that it is a slow moving ship and it's not really seeing any big, huge change on the economy side. The economy is still doing well, but labor market has cracks. I think that the status quo on yields is where we're going, and I think that yields are going to consolidate here, come back down, and be in this range, both on twos and tens, maybe a little bit steeper in the curve, but not necessarily. Taking one quick peek at the yield curve here, the candles themselves, you can see a little bit of flatlining over the past few weeks, and that's what I'm talking about. It means that the drama in the treasury market is not in the shape, and only when the shape changes is there information for me personally as a treasury analyst. Seeing rates go from a gap of 2% to a gap of 50 basis points while the Fed is cutting between market rates and policy yields is not that much information to me. I'm just being honest with you guys here. The information is in the lack of movement in the curve. It tells me that we're probably in for a little bit of a lower volatility regime here once rates reached the level that they did this week. Now, I'm happy to be wrong here, but we'll stick with those calls of 4.25 on twos and 4.25 on tens being those swing points. We want to see yields consolidate below those levels to suggest a calmer bond market. Above those yield levels, you're going to see a little bit more volatility throughout financial markets and maybe something that the Fed will have to address. Now, let's talk about the U.S. dollar, Donald Trump, and what we will be seeing here over the next 4 years, but more specifically, the next 2 years with a mandate from the American people for the Grand Ole Party. The U.S. dollar is showing us on the price chart here, weekly candles, that something happened this week. We see a lot of indecision in the current candle. You see that by this tall doji on either side of the price action. It means we opened at this level, we spiked down, we spiked up, we're back where we started. And I do believe my hunch here is that we reach some sort of swing point here in the dollar. Now, yields higher drives a higher dollar at the margin, all else being equal. And that's what we saw over the last several weeks. Higher yields, higher dollar. Now that the election has passed and the Trump trade has to be adjusted now that we are in a reality of the Republican Party having complete control of the executive and legislative branches, tax cuts are on the menu. TBL Pros read all about that yesterday. My outlook for the tax cuts here coming and what that's going to mean. Now, while the tax cuts are going to have their own implications on financial markets, let's instead think about what Trump and Vance want to do on the level of the dollar versus the rest of the world. And my gut tells me that they want to hit the dollar. They want it to be weaker. It's going to be good for the U.S. economy. The Trump-Vance administration is going to want to take advantage of America's superpower status, its dollar reserve currency status, the Treasury reserve asset status, and it is going to issue treasuries as far as the eye can see. I am imagining the next administration running up the debt to an eye-watering level that brings so much new money into the system, it brings nominal GDP, and it brings a weak dollar. And the weak dollar is something that is going to be, a policy motivator, something that's at the center of the Trump administration's policies. It's something we are going to monitor incredibly closely here at the Bitcoin Layer. I can promise you that we are going to continually be analyzing the price action as well as reading policy speeches from the Treasury Department, from officials within the White House to see what they are going to be doing on trade, Treasury issuance, deficit spending, tax cuts, spending. I know a lot of you out there think that there's some miraculous $1 to $2 trillion in spending cuts that might happen as a result of Elon Musk being closer to the administration. I'm not buying it. Tax cuts are much easier than spending cuts. Tax cuts don't have to be paid for today. They can be promised. But spending cuts affect somebody's pocket today, and that voter goes to their representative and votes them out in 2 years. So cuts on the spending side, much less likely than tax cuts. I believe that we will see the largest tax cuts of all time. Now, I know you've all been waiting for it here. Bitcoin weekly candles, all-time high. Here at 76,000, we touched about 77,000 today earlier in the trading session. Bitcoin has broken out above its previous levels around 70 to 73,000 that it reached as early as 2021 when it almost touched 70,000 to 2024 when we were above 70 on a few occasions. We are now in resistance-free territory. It means that you at home can get your hats out that I told you to purchase, get those sewing machines, get that thread, and start working that machine. What six-digit price do you want to put on your hat? It's really your choice. You use your own imagination. Bitcoin is heading to 96,000 per our own rough technical analysis. That's basically calculating a range of 50 to 73K. 23K range of a consolidation, adding to the top of the breakout, 23 plus 73 equals 96,000. That's our base case here over the coming days, weeks, and months for Bitcoin's price. Beyond 96, it's really the forward path. We're not here with a crystal ball to predict the future. We do price analysis, technical analysis, and behavioral analysis. 96 is the target. From there, we'll have to see what is going on chain. How stretched is the market value to the realized value? These are all things that we're covering all the time at the Bitcoin layer. Don't forget to check out Mean Median Mode, our bi-weekly risk report in which we cover every single number you need to know across Bitcoin, what's going on with the Bitcoin blockchain, financial markets, including interest rates, money markets, the stock market, and of course, TBL liquidity, our proprietary indicator with a 51% correlation with the stock market. Thanks for joining us today at the Bitcoin Layer. We'll catch you guys next time.